Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to continue in the series we're teaching entitled Navigate, How to Successfully Journey Through Life and These Times. And this is part 11. This is now the longest series I've ever preached and taught. But this is important. It's just so pertinent for our times. Because I realized early on, back when the pandemic began in March 2020, and through the real difficult parts of it, I realized that the people who were getting through it and those who were not getting through it, only real difference was who navigated well and who didn't. Because COVID is something that can be avoided. You don't have to get it. There's some things that you can't avoid. I know that. But a lot of things we can do. And if we do those things, it's because we chose to navigate. We're doing the masks and now the vaccinations. I'm getting my booster tomorrow. Get the booster. I'm all in, y'all. It's called public health. Not just for me, it's for the public. But the point is, if you have survived this, and you have because you're here, then it's because you have navigated. But navigation occurs at every level of life. You've been navigating all your life. You've been getting through things and making it through. And so the best word I could find is navigate. It's not only the fact that you know God, that's a huge factor. You have faith, that's a big factor. You go to church, that's great. But really it's everything working together and that you've decided to live your life on purpose. Not live your life just, you know, up to the chance and whims of things that come. I heard Minister Bertha say yesterday in her session about if you don't have a plan, if you don't plan how to handle finance, it's going to be a big problem for you. You financial matters, you just can't just hope it comes together. It doesn't come together. It must be a plan. And so navigation happens there as well. I just thought also as ministers were sharing, Elder Owens and Chaplain Epps, I just listened and just was blessed to hear the words of encouragement. I thought about something I heard some years ago, and it kind of stayed with me. I made a note of it. Let me pull this up real quick here. Because we are facing so many odd and strange times and obstacles, right? And so what came to me, there's a scripture in 2 Samuel, don't turn there, but David had some guys, he called them mighty men. The Bible called them mighty men. And all of us can be mighty people, men or women, but there was one person, well, he listed all of them, but he came down to one named Benaiah. Listen to this. It says, Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. Listen to this. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. These were like people, looked like lions, okay? Watch this. He had also gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. That's a bad man right there. He chased that lion down into the pit, jumped down in the pit, and finished the lion off on a snowy day. Now, you know, listen, people have done amazing things. And this is extreme. But I think about all the people of God. I think about you. I think about our parents and grandparents. And I mean, people have done stuff, y'all. They've persevered. They didn't let things become a barrier to them. They didn't see something and say, that's just too much. It just can't do it. It's just no. They just sought God and pulled on the strength they had on the inside. Amen, somebody. So let's be mighty people. Say, I will be Say, I am a mighty person. Amen. He went down the pit on a snowy day. All right. Let's go into our text. And I'm going to go straight to our lesson for today. Let's go to Matthew 13. We've been talking about value and priority. In fact, the title is The Pool of Value and Priority. And we spent the past last week and last Wednesday talking about value. Today we'll focus on priority. You'll see where it is that is here in the text. 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 44, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then for his joy he goes and sells all he has and buys the field. That's the one story. Then he says this in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls, who, on finding a single pearl of great price or great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, I want to suggest to you that the story about the hidden treasure or the treasure in the field is speaking to us about value. The second story about the man in search of pearls speaks to priority. And we'll get to that in detail here. But I want us to be very clear. First of all, definitions. We say value. We define value or treasure as worth, importance, or usefulness of something. The verb is defined as to rate something according to its perceived worth, importance, or usefulness, right? So we value things. We value. We value our education. We value our children. We value working hard. We value a lot of things. But back to our text, this man found some treasure in a field, more or less stumbled upon it. But he realized, wow, if I found this, there must be more. So he bought the whole field. He bought the whole field. He placed value on that field, and he bought the whole thing at great price and sacrifice. Now, on the second point, priority or pearl. Look at this. So we say priority or pearl defined the state of having most importance or urgency. Somebody or something that is ranked highly in terms of importance or urgency, the state of having preceded something else. So my question to us is, what do you treasure? What do you value? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There was a time when I really treasured cars, my cars. I had lots of cars. We all had a lot of cars, and I've always valued my cars. You know, you get a new car or new to you, a used car, new to you. You know, you wash it. I had a black Ford Granada, an 80, 70, something. Anyway, it was, you know, looked nice back then. The point, though, is, you know, you were very concerned. So one day I came from someplace, came back. It was a scratch right all the way down the side of the car. One long, black car, long scratch. You know, I almost had a fit behind that. Just about lost my mind. And I was a young Christian, too, you know. I'm like, oh. Now, of course, you know, nobody, don't care how godly you are, going to be happy with your car scratched up. But I'm saying, though, I overreacted because I treasured that car. I know what happened. I found out later, God said, look at that, look at you. Look at that, look at you. He let it happen. God let my car get scratched because he knew I had a problem with that car that he had to resolve. So the point is, you know, what do you treasure? What do you value? Now, I'm not down with scratch stuff still, but when I learned, because when somebody stole my car off the church parking lot on Washington Boulevard, when I came back and saw the glass in my car, I said, Lord, somebody stole your car. That's exactly what I said. Ain't my problem. And that car turned up 3 days later. But I wasn't happy about it, but follow me. I don't treasure stuff anymore. I treasure people. I treasure God. I value people. I got good stuff, y'all. I got nice stuff. I take care of that stuff. I'm unhappy if something happened to it, but it doesn't change me, though. All right, you got the point. What is your treasure? What do you treasure over other things? Next point. So then value determines priority. We learned that from last week. What we value drives our attitudes and our actions. We all have values. The thing is, our values should be shaped by Christ and the kingdom of God. So again, here are the points. Value equals what is important. Priority equals what is first, second, third, etc. Right? So then, what is important, and among the important things, how do you prioritize what you do? So then, in that story of the man who found that treasure, the value of learning and discovery is what I learned from it. One great lesson of the parable is the joy of discovery that caused the man to be willing to give up everything to make the treasure or the expectation of discovery his own. Now, I see many, many lessons in these stories, but this one here strikes me as important because, you know, we live life not just to get things and do things. We should live life to enjoy life. We should live life to discover things, to discover more about God, more about life, to get more out of what we're doing. And that's important. It is to me, at least. Now, I'm going to say this. On last Wednesday, I taught this part. Left it out for time on Sunday, last Sunday. But don't be another heathenist. Say, don't be another heathenist. Not heathen. Not like Aunt Esther, you know. I'm talking about heathen. H-E-D-O-N-I-S. A heathen. A heathenist is, I read this because it's too small on the screen there, refers to a family of theories, all of which have in common that pleasure plays a central role. Psychological and motivational hedonism claims that human behavior is determined by desires to increase pleasure and decrease pain, which is actually true if you only live by your desire. This is contrary to what Jesus said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I'm not waiting around for a feeling. I'm not running from bad feeling. I'm not looking to feel good and then, you know, dread feeling bad. I want to seek first the kingdom. Like this snowy day today, it had no impact on us whatsoever. Now, hey, 12 inches might make a difference. You know, 12 inches would be a different story. You know, that might change your mind a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But point is, you know, it's a little bit of snow right here. It's nothing, absolutely nothing. If we understand, we are not a hedonistic people. We don't live looking for pleasure, looking for a party, looking for a good time. There's this tragedy in Texas we're all aware of, heartbreaking situation, where some people died trying to get into this concert, and they were rushed in there, and they trampled each other. It was a bad situation. Some young folk died, and they went to hear this rapper. And it's just sad on different levels, not the least of which is, you know, why would you want to risk your life to hear somebody rap, which wasn't the idea anybody had? They were going for a good time. I don't know about you, all my problems have come from trying to have a good time. I mean, all my major problems in the past, trying to have a good time, you know what I'm saying? Now, listen, I have good times today, but I'm not driven by it. See, I'm not trying to aim for it. I'm aiming to seek the kingdom first. Bible says, Psalm says, it says, your throne is established in the heavens. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At your right hand are pleasures. Much pleasure to be gained in life. It's just that we are not hedonistic. We're not just seeking it as if that's our only aim. We pray for those who are yet injured and and praying for those who, you know, who were trampled, who survived it. But it was so sad that young people died just trying to go to a concert. My second thought is, don't be a face in somebody's crowd. Don't be a face in somebody's crowd. Be a face in your crowd. You do something. I mean, so I'm not criticizing. I've been to concerts. I may go to another one at some point. But I have less and less desire to be a face in somebody's crowd. I just had no interest in that. Anyway, all right. Next point here we make to you from this text is right place at the right time. Say, Lord, thank you. I want to be in the right place at the right time. Notice that this man just happened to be in this field when he found this precious item. And then he found it, he buried it to hide it, and he bought the field again. Now, it looks like luck, but it wasn't luck. I realize this, so do you, have you in your life. When you've served the Lord and done the right things in your life, and you've just been diligent and doing well by people, taking care of people, it just looks like things just come your way. I mean, some things you expect and more things you don't expect just come your way. Good things happen to you because you're just in the right place, in the right time. That is, you're in the kingdom, see? Not just a random thing. I'm talking about because you're in the kingdom, it may seem random, but it's not random. If you follow Christ and you seek first the kingdom everywhere you are, everywhere your foot treads is ordained of God. Amen? And so that we're always in the right place at the right time if we keep ourselves in God's kingdom. All right. So then let me skip ahead a little bit. We discussed the pull of value. I want to go down to the pull of priority. Say the pull of priority. I use the word pull, P-U-L-L, to describe that it's not that we make some decisions and we do things based on decision. We do that. But more times than not, we're just pulled in one direction or another. Our habits, our values, our priorities just pull us that way. Told you again, I grew up, had friends, and I valued my friends so much that wherever they said go, I went. And I knew it was going to be something bad. I said, I don't want to go. Oh, come on, Brian. All right, let's go. I just was pulled. And so, and then, of course, in a good way now, I'm pulled in my service for God. I just feel like serving people, doing the right thing, writing these books and blogs. I just feel pulled. I just get up sometime and go straight to the computer and begin typing. Just, I didn't make a decision. I just went there. Now, I decide sometime to do it. But the thing about deciding to serve God is, if you wait for a decision, you won't go very far. So we're led by the Spirit. Say led. Yeah. And you agree and you decide to cooperate. All right. So then finding your pearls, slide again, please. So the pool of priority revealed, finding your pearls prioritize things in God and in life that are most beautiful to you. Now, this is very wonderful text. Now, again, the text said, look at it again, next slide here. So it says here that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls. Now, here's a big difference. In the first story, the man just stumbled upon this treasure. In this story, he's looking for a specific item. He's a merchant in pearl. He's in the pearl business. And of course, pearls, you know, that's a whole different thing. Pearls, natural pearls are really amazing. Now we have a lot of, you know, pearls that are made artificially. But natural pearls are hard to find. A really good round pearl with the right color, texture, layers, and so forth. But this man was in search. So God's kingdom, I like this. We should be people in search of beautiful things, of the best things. Not people just stumbling through life and just happen upon things or somebody give us something. We actually are searching for the things that we want according to what our values are. Again, because value then leads to what your priorities are. It says, so watch this. It says, so who on finding a single pearl of great price or great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. This is heavy, y'all. That pearl must have been amazing because he sold his camels, his sheep. He sold a bunch of stuff. All he had, that this is a fictional story, but Christ is making a point, that this is what he did to buy the pearl. Because, not because he wanted to get rich off the pearl. He actually lost money getting the pearl. This merchant, he was in search of fine and valuable pearls. I love that. Proverbs 23:23 says this. Proverbs says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. So I'm asking us today, what is your priority? Because again, I believe the first story was about value of the field. The second about priority. What are you looking for? The story of the pearl merchant is different than the man who found treasure in the field. Value. The man who found treasure bought the field because he valued finding more treasure. Priority. The pearl merchant had a different mentality. He admired pearls and was on the lookout for better pearls. Please get that. Because I want us to understand something and examine our own values. But I believe there's something here that God wants us to see. Let me ask this question. Skip ahead a couple of places here in the slides. Okay, so what is the value of priority? All right, priority is not only the things you have to do. I was in a seminar one time, and they asked a question. They asked the question. The question was, if you didn't have to do things, if you weren't under the demands of your job and of people, what would you do? I said, I don't know. All I do is my job. All I do is what people ask me to do. I never thought about what I would do if I didn't have anybody giving me things to do in a job saying do this. I said, I don't know what I would do. Then I thought about it. I said, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I'd write books. I would write books. I would do seminars. I mean, this is a long time ago now. This is back in the late 80s. And I realized, okay, so priority isn't just what I have to do. It's also things that I should do. But yet, there's a higher level than that. We are all responsible people. We're hardworking folk. Many of y'all are retired. You worked your whole life, not your whole life, your working life, and you were faithful to that job. You did that job. You did it well. You did not do other things because you did the job. And your hope is, I'm retired. Now I can do what I want to do. But then the grandkids come up. You're still working. This is a different job now, you know. But what would you do if you didn't have expectations placed on you? My point is, be like that pearl merchant. What do you seek? Amid the responsibilities, and that's all good and necessary, what do you seek out of life? Let me show you a quick video here about the Pareto principle, 80-20 principle.
So in 1906, Italian economist Wilfredo Pareto found that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the population. Now this 80-20 distribution became quite famous for occurring over and over again in many scenarios. For example, about 20% of the world's population control about 80% of the world's income. You wear about 20% of the clothes in your wardrobe about 80% of the time. About 20% of a business's customers account for 80% of their complaints. This is known as the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 rule. Now as a note, this shouldn't be taken as some sort of universal law that occurs in all situations. Exceptions can be made and one should always be critical. But that being said, it's an extremely effective tool to analyze your own life and be more productive. Let's look at an example. Imagine you have a daily to-do list with 10 things to do every day. Using the Pareto principle, you want to figure out what are the two most important things that will give you the majority of your results. And once you figure this out, you want to spend 80% of your effort on these two things and the rest on the remaining 8 things to do. This means that even if you don't manage to complete most of the things you wanted to do, you at least get the important things out of the way. The concept is very simple, but the ways you can apply it are endless. The point here isn't the numbers, but rather to simplify your life and focus on what truly matters.
Out of all the things you do, 20% of those things are actually the productive things. But we spend a lot of time on other things that don't lead to productivity, right? And the point being that when you properly prioritize, that pearl merchant didn't get sidetracked looking for shoes. He wasn't looking at, you know, gold. He looking for pearls. He was doing what his priority was and stayed with that, stayed on that. And it's important for us in the midst of all that we have to do now, understand this, we're responsible, we got jobs, we report to people, we all have that on us. But you must never lose sight of what you really want, what you're really seeking. And keep that in view and keep working on that in the midst of all the things you're doing, right? Now, next list here. So again, priority isn't only about things you have to do. Watch this. It is also about things you love to do. It is about things you consider beautiful and the pursuit of those things. That's my interpretation of the pearl merchant. He was into beautiful things because he was actually paying money. He wasn't making money. He was actually spending money to get to the things that he thought were important to him. Let me show you this next slide here. This is a picture I took. Wife and I went to vacation in Florida in October. And now, you know, I like photography. I actually love photography in the sense I love doing it. I don't love, you know, I love people, I like things, but I'm saying I enjoy this immensely. Now, and I realized, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago, before I was married, before we had 4 beautiful children and 2 grands and 1 grand on the way, praise the Lord. Before I pastored a church, I was an artist. I've always been an artist. And sometime I realized, I don't know when it was, but responsibility was driving out of me the thing I really loved doing. I didn't let it go entirely, but I just put it aside like it's not important. I got to focus on ministry and preparing to preach and raise my family. But the fact is, you can do all of that and not lose sight of what's really in your heart, amen, in addition to your family and all the rest. Really, look at it like this. I see priority as a wagon wheel. Sometimes we think about things like, well, here's a top, second tier, third tier, and things get lower and lower. Think about it this way. Think of a wagon wheel or a bicycle wheel. You got the hub in the middle. You got the spokes going out and the wheel surrounding it, right? So then you're the hub. Everything's important to you. Everybody has priority. So I like to think of things, not ranking it high and low as much as this direction, that direction. Because I can focus this way on today or half a day and focus that way other half a day. You know, amen, somebody? I mean, there are seasons in time where, I mean, I'm very tech-oriented, you know that. But I put all that down and pick up a paperback book. And I read that book. My point is, I can't answer this for you. All I can say is, bring that back up in the rainbow again, please. So my wife and I, we're going up the coast. We're in Daytona Beach, driving up A1A. That's the highway that goes up, you know, along the coast, going north. And I saw the forecast was scattered rain, which is pretty common in Florida. But I know this, man, if there's rain and there's sun, there's a rainbow happening somewhere. I knew that. I mean, the sun is a certain angle in the sky. And so we saw the first one a few miles up north. I thought, oh, here we go. But the amazing thing was, to me, now, my poor wife, I'm dragging her along, okay? But actually, she enjoyed it too, you know, some of it. I was going in, y'all. Normally, The plan is, I get up early, do it myself, come back, pick her up, and go do things she wants to do. But here's the point, though. Priorities are very personal. That's why you need to respect other people's presence and not force folk around your priority. So I don't do that. I don't. But my wife knew that this was an occasion I couldn't pass up. So I saw this. It's like, for me, it was just like that merchant, that pearl merchant. And I sent my drone up, and I took this picture. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And the thing is, what I saw from the air, people could not see on the ground. Because rainbows don't appear everywhere. You see a rainbow, the person across town don't see it. Rainbows are just visible from where you're standing in relation to the sunlight and the water in the air. So I say all of that just to say to you that the kingdom of God should be to us just like that, where we have so much priority in the kingdom, we see actual beauty, not just what I got to do, what I should do. No, I get to do things I love. I get to pursue things I love, both in kingdom and in a kingdom-based life. Amen, somebody? So we seek the kingdom. Watch this. We don't seek the kingdom only to do things only to have things added. We seek the kingdom because it is beautiful. We seek the kingdom because there's nothing better. Say that. I seek the kingdom. Not just to have things added. I seek the kingdom because it is beautiful. I seek the kingdom because there's nothing better. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out. I've got some handout for you. I want you to look at this. This is a little reflection questions. All right. Everyone take one. And you can fill it out later. I want you to engage on this. I really feel important. It's important for us in the middle of all the things we have to do and must do. We are very keen on that. We're responsible, hardworking people. But what do you love to do? What do you want to do? Let's get at that. And really, and ask this question, what lesser things are you willing to sell to have the greater? What lesser things? So here are some questions I put on the screen. You have the handout as well. So the first set of questions is, what is value, right? Again, you can think on this, write it down later. What is value? So based on what we've talked the past couple of weeks, and think, what is value? Number two, who are the people you value? Again, value being what is most important. What are the things you value? Like I said last time, don't just say it's prayer and Bible reading. No, put watching TV on that. If that's what you actually value. Yeah, I like watching. I like shopping. Well, don't lie. Because shopping can be a part of that. It's just not the main thing. Or is it the main thing? Well, get on the altar. Come on, get on this altar. No. Loose here. Okay. All right. Here we go now. What values need to change? We can change, can't we? We must change. And finally, how do you value the kingdom of God? Again, because you're doing this in your own prayer time, be honest with yourself. Because you won't fool God, all right? It's not, if you were handing this in, that'd be a problem. You could just fib all the way through. But you can't fib before God. You can't. So God knows when you say, Lord, I value prayer. And God says, and what else? And but. Because God knows. And the sooner we admit to our failings, the quicker we just find strength. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. He meant that to say, when I recognize my weakness, I can exchange that for strength. You know what it is, if you've counseled people, you can't help a person until they admit they got an issue and a problem. There's no help for you until you say, I got a problem right over here. Here's my problem. And so, same with us. Even though we're born again, blood washed, tongue talking, fire baptized people, we still need to evaluate, what do we value? Second set of questions, what is priority? What do you have to do? That would be work, you know, taking care of people, things. What should you do? And that's important too, what you should do. It's very close to what you have to do. It's not too far apart. But then watch this. What things are beautiful to you? And I should have asked the question here, what things do you want to do, right? But I'll just lump it with the question, what things are beautiful to you? I hope life is still beautiful, people. I hope you haven't become so immersed in duties and responsibilities and burdens and pressures, you don't find beauty in life anymore. You can't look up and stop and admire a beautiful sunset. Now, again, that's my thing. I can't impose that on you. I shouldn't do that. But if I see a good sunset, I'm going to stop the car and I'm going to look at it for a little bit. That's just me. That's my thing. But whatever your thing is, you should seek it like that pearl merchant. Where does the kingdom of God fit in under your priorities? Where does the kingdom of God fit in? Oh, Pastor, kingdom fits everywhere. I say, you can tell me that. But don't lie to yourself and don't lie to God. For some people, the kingdom fits in on Sunday morning. Not even a whole church service. Just a part of the church service. Some folks in church, their mind, they're on the phone, their minds up. They in church, they in the building, you know what I'm saying? I've been there. I know these things. I've been there. So what is the kingdom? And kingdom is beyond church. So what are we doing away from the facility? And finally, what needs to change? In levels, in our areas of priority, what needs to change? Amen. Father, thank you today for reminding us of the power of and the pull of value, and on today, priority. That your kingdom is like a merchant who's in search of fine and beautiful pearls. So life, Lord, we know from this story is not just about getting to get more. Sometimes it's about, Lord God, enjoying what we have. It's about seeking, Lord, experiences that connect us to you, to one another, that bring out the best in ourselves. And that makes us better as servants. So, Lord, we value service. But if we did not get nourished, we'd have nothing to offer other people. If we weren't healthy, we couldn't export anything good. So Lord, this is not selfish. This is personal. Some things in life are personal and not selfish, Lord. You know that because you're the one that told us to pray and get along with you and, Lord, to practice solitude and to practice silence and things like this, Lord. Thank you that we're going to navigate better when we are pulled and motivated by the best values and priorities in our lives. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?